Franklin Kurtz was the unluckiest man alive. With a sigh, he glanced around his living room at the sight that confirmed this simple truth. His tattered couch was seated across from an empty nook where his brand new television used to be. A bookcase stood to one side of the couch, the third and fourth shelves empty now that his stereo was gone. His kitchen was a patchwork of greasy outlines, marking the places where his appliances used to rest. This was the 35th time he had been robbed. It was the 120th time he had been a victim of crime. And that was just since he had kept count. Frank glanced at his watch. It was well past midnight. He had called the police an hour ago, but as usual, they weren't in a rush to get to his case. But he didn't blame them. He knew as well as they did that the criminals would never be found. His possessions would never resurface. He hoped his renter's insurance wouldn't cancel him. Again. This reverie was interrupted by a sharp knock on his door. Peeking through the peephole, Frank caught a warped image of a woman, probably a plainclothes officer, and a new one at that. He found himself excited to meet a new face on the force, since he had given statements to every officer employed by the city. Working the latches, he cracked the door and peered into the hallway. "Hello?" he said. The woman nodded. "Hello there." Frank opened the door wide and smiled even wider. Not only was she a new officer, she was beautiful as well. Tall and lean, with hazel eyes and strawberry blonde hair, the woman had a slender waist and flaring hips. Her black blazer was unbuttoned over a black blouse and matching black slacks. She carried an index card in one hand and small cassette recorder in the other. "Mr. Franklin Kurtz?" she asked.
"Yes,"
he answered, as he ran a hand through his hair. He found himself wishing he had changed into a nicer shirt. She glanced at the card, reading aloud, "The same Franklin Kurtz, whose parents died on November 14, 1983? Frank's eyes widened as his smile fell away.
"How do you know that?"
"I'll take that as a yes." Without warning, she lunged forward, pressing the tape recorder to Frank's sternum. Every muscle in his body contracted at the same time, as several hundred volts raced through his system. He stood ramrod straight for a moment as the world swam before him in a light-effused kaleidoscope of colors. Then he collapsed into a writhing heap on the floor, struggling to breathe as his muscles coiled and uncoiled in an effort to shake off the last bit of electric fury. The woman rolled him out of the doorway, into the living room and behind the couch. She slammed the door closed before she crouched next to Frank. He rolled his eyes toward her as he jawed wordlessly, but her attention was focused on the couch. He pawed at her foot with a clenched hand. She looked down at him and smiled.
"Sorry about that," she said, wiggling the little black box in her hand. "But it's the only way to get him off."
Frank now saw it was not a tape recorder. It was a stun gun.
"What?"
he stammered.
"Why aren't you out?" she asked.
I...
"Be quiet."
Grunting his disapproval, Frank shook his head, the only thing he could shake after absorbing such a shock. She raised an eyebrow at him as she reached inside of her blazer to pull out yet another weapon. Frank fell silent. The gun was a dull metal gray, with a stocky grip and a stubby snout-like barrel. In her delicate hands, it seemed almost comically large. She fetched a small metal tube from another pocket and screwed it to the end of the gun.
"What the hell?"
he asked in a staggered clip.
"Silencer," she answered,
tightening the piece. She winked at Frank.
"Don't want to wake the whole neighborhood, do we?"
Frank shook his head again. It seemed the shocks were coming fast and furious today. The stranger held the gun to one side, aimed at the floor as she rose to her feet. He rolled onto his knees, trying to stand, but she pushed him back onto the floor. After glancing over the couch, she nodded, then returned to his side.
"I think it's out," she whispered. "A really strong jolt always does the trick. It's a big one, too."
"What's out?"
he asked in a whisper.
"You really have no idea, do you?"
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"You might be better off if you don't know. You were supposed to stay passed out while I handled this, but your friend there is a lot larger than I was led to believe."